Morning. For scripture this morning, I'm reading from Psalm 119, verses 73 through 80. And there's actually a part of this that I'm going to be referring to that probably is ignored. I never paid any attention to it. And that's the symbol that is very possibly above your heading of verse 73. And it might even be the word yod that would be listed there, Y-O-D-H. Psalm 119 is broken into stanzas. So a little bit more on this yod a little bit later. Psalm 119, 73 through 80. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees that I may not be put to shame. Small details placed together make a huge difference in our lives and the lives that we may influence, the lives that we may interact with on a daily basis. Now, I taught math for 33 years, not English, but I appreciate the creative process of writing and some of the ways that things can be written, rewritten, adjusted, changed by punctuation. The placement of commas, colons, hyphens can change an entire statement. I've got a few examples that'll be placed up here. So I'm going to read this. A woman without her man is nothing. But if we place some punctuation in, same words, a woman without her man is nothing. Very different. Here's another example. I find inspiration in cooking my family and my dog. With punctuation, I find inspiration in cooking my family and my dog. And one last one. Just the change of a hyphen. $25 bills is worth $25. But if you change where that hyphen is located, $25 bills is worth $100. So obviously, in English sentences, notation, details of where it's located, it's important. Incorrect placement can create humor, or it could create worse, miscommunication, statements that are unloving. And how much more important are the details of how we live our life in comparison to what might be written in English? Incorrect placement of our time, of our values, of our focus can produce devastating results to our faith, to relationships, and to life in general. So we read from Psalms 119 today, and I have just a quick quiz about the book of Psalms before we go further. The YACS class, Sunday school class, young adult college students, this summer we're making our way through Psalms. And so YACS members, the very first time we met, we covered some of these, so I'm counting on those YACS members to get most of these right. And I won't be calling on anybody to answer verbally if you don't need to. So here's the first question. So shout this out as you know. How many chapters are there in Psalms? There are 50. 50 chapters in Psalms. How many books or sections are there in Psalms? And they're labeled as books. There are five. Five books. So the 50 are not set up in, you know, equal sections, but there's book one, book two, book three, four, and five. Who wrote most of the Psalms? David. How many did he write of the 150? A lot of them, yes. 73. Less than half. Which psalm is the shortest? Psalm 117 is 2 verses long. Which psalm is the longest? 119. 176 verses long. And then the question a little bit more pertinent with today, from Psalm 119, how many stanzas long is it? Now, we read one stanza. How many stanzas are in Psalm 119? 22, which matches the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So today's scripture that we read is the entire 10th stanza from Psalm 119, and it's a stanza labeled with the Greek letter Yod, Y-O-D-H, the Greek letter Yod. Yod is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, size-wise. It's pretty much a single dot, a very small detail. On my shirt, this letter right here, that's the letter Yod. It's the beginning of all other letters being created. In creating Hebrew letters, Yod represents the beginning of everything else. That's where you start, and then everything else develops. You know, any lines going left, right, up, down, wherever it's going to be, it grows from that single dot, Yod. In Jewish tradition, because Yod is present in the formation of all the letters, Yod indicates God's omnipresence. Yod is everywhere. God is everywhere. And at the same time, because it is so small, Yod also represents humility. And the t-shirt I'm wearing was one I picked up, I want to say maybe a year ago. One of the things I started to think about when I go disking, a lot of times I'll wear t-shirts. I wear a hat because I don't want to burn my head, but I'll wear t-shirts. And I thought, well, why don't I wear some shirts that might strike up in conversations? And so I have some shirts that will have a cross on them or something, and this is one that I have worn at times. And I have had some different conversations on the way going disking and back or on the course that kind of originate from this. So that's a bit of why I got this. But with this sermon today, I thought, well, I'm going to bring this. This shirt spells out the word Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua. And it's not read left to right. Hebrew is read right to left. So the first word, or the first letter, is over here, reading this way. Yeshua. The Hebrew name for God begins with Yod as well. Yahweh. So it's very appropriate that the name of the creator of all things begins with the letter Yod. It starts every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. God started everything that we know as creation. The beginning of all things. God. Yahweh. Now, Psalm 119 is one of the psalms that is not credited to anybody. No certainty of its author, but we know that it was inspired by God. And the 22 stanzas in Psalm 119 do not necessarily flow in a set theme. There's not necessarily a sequence where one stanza builds on the next. They would be standalone, and Yod would be one of these. So what I want to do with this stanza, verses 73 through 80, I want to take a look at what the verses say as we go through them. And so I want to look at four sections within the stanza itself. What is God saying through these verses? So the first section is just simply verse 73, the very first verse in the section. When God created Adam, he didn't do it from a distance. He didn't mix up things in it like a chef would in a bowl with utensils and then throw it in the oven and let it kind of cook and bake and be done afar. No, God did it personally. He did it up close. Genesis 2:7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Taking dust from the ground requires hands to gather it carefully, because if you don't hold it carefully, the dust is going to fall through. So you've got to hold that dust carefully, holding it, molding it, forming it with tenderness, care, intentionality. And then breathing nostrils into this creation requires intimacy. You're directly in touch with your creation. And all that we read and continue to hear and know about the nature of God, it would be easy to put into this verse just a couple of additional words. So let me rewrite verse 73 just a little bit. It says, "Your hands," and the words I'm going to add in here are, "lovingly and personally, your hands lovingly and personally made me and formed me." That's what God did for Adam and Eve. That's what God does for us. And because of that intimacy and trust, what follows that creation and that care, the psalmist then extends this request to God. "Give me understanding to learn your commands." Theodore Roosevelt is credited with this quote, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." Because God loves and cares us. I believe there's an innate desire that we have as humans for relationship with our Creator. And you may hear at different times people wondering or questioning, okay, why are we here on earth? What's our purpose? And I think we as believers would say, well, we know what our purpose is. We were created. And so because we were created by a loving God, that God is the one that knows the answers. He has solutions for us. He has a purpose for us. And our prayer is to better understand who God is, what his teachings are, and therefore who we are and whose we are. So I believe that first verse of this section is a recognition of our loving Creator intimately forming us with his loving hands. And because of that, our desire is to know him more. More about who he is, more about who we are in God's eyes, in that relationship. The second section would be just verse 74. Verse 74 says, "May those who fear you rejoice when they see me." And that can be a bit confusing. Okay, you got to reread it. What is he saying? Well, I think this would be another way of saying, I look forward to being with fellow believers who also look forward to being with other fellow believers like me. I seek community. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me. As we enter into our hallways, our Sunday school classes, do we rejoice in seeing one another as we celebrate God's love together? Because God has called the community of believers to be that, a community, supporting one another, encouraging one another, fellowshipping together, and for this verse, fearing God, honoring him together. And for some people, You know, that can sound like just a big, huge, you know, frat party. You get together, you enjoy fellowship, you know, but it's a social club. Well, no. This club's different. It's focused. Our club is focused on things above this heavenly realm. But it's also focused on how to impact this earthly realm with the things from above. We're not staying here. There's a heavenly realm that we are affected by, that we bring to this earth. Acts 2:42 says this about the church as it was being created and formed, referring to the disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13, Paul calls each person to be part of that fellowship. He said, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So we're called to fellowship. And the last half of that verse 74 from Psalm 119 clarifies where our belief lies as we play our part. The last half of verse 74 says, I have put my hope in your word. God's word, the spoken truth from God, from the mouth, the teaching of Jesus. So we don't gather simply to enjoy each other's company. That is valuable. That is helpful. That is encouraging. That is necessary. But our gathering in fellowship is vital because of the basis of why we gather. And so verse 74 is proclaiming a full desire to be surrounded by believers in Jesus Christ, encouraging, admonishing, supporting one another from a common ground of belief in the Word of God. And the Word of God is the basis for our relationship, for that active community. The third section would actually be, what I'm going to break would be verses 75 through 77, so three verses long. And if we read through that, this portion begins and ends with recognition of God's judgments, God's laws. And it's referring to God being righteous and holy, God being just and comforting, God being loving, merciful, and compassionate. And we may think about rules as being restrictive, but God provides freedom. But God doesn't encourage us to just run around and follow our heart's desire. We hear that at different times from the world. You got to follow your heart. Be true to your heart. Well, if we did that, our hearts are going to lead us directly into sin. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Left to my own desires, I can be greedy, selfish, prideful, spiteful. The heart is not going to follow God in and of its own design. We need assistance. We need strength from that. God doesn't want us to live however we wish to live. We need to be following his laws, his rules. And God's laws and rules are for us to live a holy life that benefits us. The laws and rules that we have are beneficial rules, rules to protect, rules to nurture us, rules that would be good for us as individuals and for a community. For those of you that have raised children, I believe you had rules for your kids, beneficial rules for them to live safely. Children growing up in homes where they have few or no rules don't learn and know boundaries, healthy boundaries for living well, again, for themselves and for community. And we're no different as children of God. Take away our boundaries, we can run wild. But God's a good parent. Verse 75 says, in faithfulness you have afflicted me, And that word afflicted sounds, okay, that's painful. But that is simply referring to discipline, being taught, being raised in a healthy and a faithful manner. Verse 76, most verses, most versions will refer to unfailing love. And that word in the original Hebrew is hesed, and we've referred to that the last couple of weeks. Hesed refers to God's unconditional, never-ending promise of love and mercy. Verse 77 explains why the judgments and laws are comforting. They are viewed and they are welcomed as being compassionate. They provide life. Let your compassion come to me that I may live. And so that section, verses 75 through 77, are all a process of thanking God for his laws, for the rules that provide a blessing to us. God's laws are not punitive for those that follow them. God's laws are life-giving. They provide forgiveness, mercy. God's laws provide freedom to live boldly for him, for God, for Jesus Christ. And fourth, the last section that I want to refer to here, verses 78 through 80. Verse 78 begins with the spoken desire that those persons who have wronged the writer be put to shame. And that sounds vengeful and angry. But I also want to read Psalm 83. So this is a little bit later in Psalms, or earlier in Psalms. Psalm 83, 16. There's a similar statement or request to putting someone to shame. And I want you to listen to this because it fits right along with this whole process. Psalm 83, 16 says this: cover their faces with shame, Lord, so that they will seek your name. The desire for shame that would be written in Psalm 83, and I believe right here in 119, it contains within it a request and a prayer for those who are to be put to shame to see the error of their ways, to change their ways, not just to appease me, not just to make me happy, but then to be seeking God's will in their heart. And that's not a vengeful heart. That's caring. That's caring for, praying for, loving your enemy. And I also want you to note the ending of verse 78, even as there's that request for those that have offended me to be put to shame, that they can change their ways. Notice what the writer is then saying. I'm going to meditate on the precepts of God. Now, sometimes in our lives, if somebody offends us, do we wish ill for them? And then that consumes our thoughts for the next 10 minutes, maybe the next day, and that's all we can think about is, boy, I hope that they get their just reward. Well, what this is saying is, no, I may be offended, but I'm going to return to meditating on God's word. I'm going to return to meditating on God's word to know what he is teaching me. And I'm going to live for him. I'm not going to meditate on wishing ill will or that shame. I'm going to meditate on God's word. So the psalmist reminds himself what is right about focus. God's word, keeping that in front. Not a desire to be vindictive, but a prayer to work within their hearts, and I would say in our hearts. As we're looking to meditate on God's word, we're asking God to meditate, or God to work in our hearts. And how challenging is it to pray for our enemies, somebody that's offended us? And that's not easy. But if our focus is on meditating on God's word, we have a much better chance of living and loving as God would wish us to be doing from the very beginning in all relationships. And then verse 79, echoes verse 74 in that same desire to commune with fellow believers, studying God's word, sharing from scripture together. And verse 80 of that section concludes with this additional stated desire, may I wholeheartedly follow your decrees. And I want you to note the wording here. It says, not just read them, not just study them, follow them. Follow your decrees. And that requires putting God's laws and teaching into action. Loving the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourself. Colossians 3:16, Paul writes, he said, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So we can do that supportive here, but now extend that. The actions that we are called for is extending from our fellowship. And what does that look like? Well, our actions would be seeing needs and responding inside our walls and outside our walls, stepping out into uncomfortable settings and conversations with patience, with love, with mercy, loving the unlovable, reaching the unreachable within our community. And I would say being someone's small group who might not have a small group of support. Taking time, and this may be one of the most challenging things, because if I have to take time, it can be inconvenient. I have my schedule, I have my plans. But taking time to spend time with someone in need and put my schedule to the side a bit. Showing love, extending grace, providing mercy. And I say these are all small details of living and living out a healthy life of faith. But if we put them all into play, God will not put us to shame, as verse 80 desires to not happen. No, we will not be put to shame. We will be blessed in doing that, extending love. So I showed at the beginning with some humor, proper placement of colons, commas, and hyphens makes a difference. And I believe that proper placement of our focus, our devotion, our fellowship, our values, our worship, our time makes a difference. So we need to surrender to God, seek His will, seek His faith, and it all begins with Him, Yahweh. Yeshua, with a small part of Yod that grows and builds. We need to read and study God's word. We need to take God's word into our heart. We need to believe God's word. His rules, His laws do not bring in confusion. His rules and laws don't misplace commas, colons, and hyphens. God provides clear precepts, clear teachings. So we need to take care of those details. And in summary, with these four sections, here's what I would leave you with. We need to know and celebrate that we are children of God. You are a child of God, chosen. He created you. Allow Him to teach you. Welcome and embrace the personal relationship that is available with Him. You are a child of God. Second, seek to be active in the fellowship of believers. Place your time and your trust and focus in God's word together. Third, delight in the word. Delight in the Lord. Study, discuss, discern, be encouraged from God's word. Welcome the guidance and the teaching and the discipline that we encounter within that. Fourth, meditate on and follow His decrees as we pray for those and are merciful to those who may offend us in small ways, large ways, it doesn't matter. Meditate on and follow His decrees. the convictions that we may feel, that we may hear from our admonishment and our discernment together. What is God calling us to do? Where is God calling us to reach? And the overall thought is basically, we need to be active and involved in a dedicated beacon of light in this world of darkness. Take care of the small details, one by one, and they grow. Just going to read that first verse again. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. We seek to know God. We seek to know and be blessed by a relationship with Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us, for loving us, for walking with us at all times. Lord, help us to continue to devote ourselves to the fellowship of believers, to relationship with you as our Lord and King. Lord, give us understanding heart of who you are, what you are calling us to be, what you're calling us to do. Bless our steps as we discern together. Bless our steps as we reach out to those around us in need. Lord, give us eyes to recognize and give us boldness to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. For those that are joining online, we want to thank you for being with us today and welcome you back to join in our worship service at Yellow Creek Mennonite Church. We hope that God is and continues to be a strong, encouraging presence in your life. We welcome you to our summer worship in person, beginning with coffee and snacks at 9 a.m. Our worship morning begins then at 9:30 in the multipurpose room, and our Sunday school time continues at 10:45. We continue to learn from God's word in discussion and fellowship. We also welcome you to visit our website at yellowcreekmc.org and stay updated with events through our Facebook page at Yellow Creek Mennonite Church. May God bless you today and throughout this entire week. Our prayer is that you feel His love, His presence in your life as you walk with Him day by day. Thank you for joining with us today. God bless you.